Always that chance of heavy rain near 92. Right now it's 86.
Welcome to another edition of Hey Doc. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, Medical Director and Physician at Southside Medical Center, right here in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm your host for the next half hour. With me today is my co-host and wife, Carmen Lasky, a certified EMT. Together, we hope that you will find the show informative, educational, as well as entertaining.
Let's get together.
We start today's show with a little clip from The Parent Trap, an older movie, the original actually here, and it was sung by child star Hayley Mills. Did you ever wonder why some people react differently to the same drugs, even identical twins? Well, in some cases it may be due to cytochrome 450, or CYP450 for short. You can hardly go to a medical seminar without someone mentioning CYP450 in their speech. Cytochrome P's are a type of enzyme that uses iron to oxidize things. If that does not make sense, then let me tell you that an enzyme is simply a substance that is produced by our bodies that helps bring about or speed up a specific biochemical reaction.
The cytochromes are essential for respiration, digesting food, muscle and nerve functioning, among thousands of other roles, and they themselves are proteins.
In the case of cytochromes, they speed up the process of oxidation. For example, oxidized iron is called rust. We see it every day on metals that have been left outside in the presence of oxygen and moisture, basically air and rain.
So, cytochromes perform this type of function in the human body, sometimes as part of the body's strategy to dispose of potentially harmful substances.
It does this by making them more water-soluble.
A study done in 1997 found that over 50% of the 315 drugs they studied were mainly cleared by cytochrome P.
In order for the body to get rid of the drug, so it's not surprising that a lot of the cytochrome P is found in our livers. After all, the liver is the main organ of our bodies that is involved in drug and toxin removal. However, not to forget, but a remarkable amount is also found in the small intestine.
Remember that we said that cytochrome P has other functions and not just metabolic clearance of drugs. It is also involved in vascular autoregulation, particularly in the brain, and is vital to the formation of cholesterol and steroids.
Although there are over 1,000 different cytochrome P's in nature, humans only have about 50. So you might think, why are there so many cytochromes in nature? Well, plants develop new alkaloids to limit their consumption by animals. Animals develop new enzymes to metabolize the plant toxins, and so it goes.
Initially, in nature, there were not as many cytochromes as there are now. It appears that the number of cytochrome P genes exploded at about the time when organisms moved from the ocean to dry land.
That's about 400 million years ago.
So, why is the particular one we are talking about called cytochrome P450? Was this a 450 cytochrome discovered?
Well, no. Special tricks are needed by researchers to identify the CYP component. To do this, they divide the solution they made containing the cytochrome P450 into two parts. One part is exposed to carbon monoxide.
If the solution exposed to carbon monoxide strongly absorbs light and at a wavelength of 450 nanometers compared with the original solution, it must contain cytochromes.
There you go, the way to name a substance. In different people and different populations, activity of CYP oxidases differs. The word polymorphism means genetic variation in a population. These differences in activity may have profound clinical consequences, especially when multiple drugs are given to a patient. there are also profound racial differences in the distribution of various alternative gene forms, also called alleles.
In other words, data on a drug that works in one way in one population group cannot necessarily be assumed to work the same way in another group.
Let me give you some real-world polymorphism. There is a high expression of cytochrome P2D6 in many persons of Ethiopian and Saudi Arabian origin. So these people have developed a different strategy to cope with the high load of toxic alkaloids in their diet. Multiple copies of the gene.
Therefore, these cytochrome Ps chew up a variety of drugs, making them ineffective. For example, many antidepressants and neuroleptics are ineffective.
On the other hand, prodrugs will be extensively activated. For example, codeine will be converted to vast amounts of morphine. In contrast, many individuals lack functional 2D6. Now, these subjects will be predisposed to drug toxicity caused by antidepressants or neuroleptics, but will actually find codeine as well as tramadol to be ineffective due to lack of activation.
Even beta blocker removal may be impaired. One of the older blood pressure medicines, which you may know as Inderal, may be affected in people deficient in cytochrome 2D6.
An even more dangerous result of polymorphism is deficient activity of cytochrome P2C9. This is because patients possessing this particular enzyme variant are ineffective in clearing S-warfarin, a drug used to thin blood, especially in patients who have suffered from blood clots. So these people who cannot clear the medication from their bodies will need less than the usual dose as part of the medical treatment.
For them, receiving a normal dose could put them over the top and cause excessive bleeding, which could be fatal.
But it's not all gloom and doom with the cytochromes. For example, cure rates for peptic ulcer treated with omeprazole are substantially greater in individuals with defective cytochrome P2C19. The most prevalent cytochrome is cytochrome P3A4.
The most important inducer of 3A4 are antimicrobials such as rifampicin and anticonvulsants like carbamazepine and phenytoin. But potent steroids such as dexamethasone may also induce 3A4.
The long list of agents metabolized by the enzyme include opioids, benzodiazepines, and local anesthetics, as well as the antibiotic erythromycin. Even oral contraceptives are metabolized, and their efficacy may be impaired when an inducer such as rifampicin is taken. But some medications are cytochrome P3A4 inhibitors. For example, there could be lethal clinical consequences for combining 3A4 inhibitors with drugs that are metabolized by this cytochrome.
Some of the non-sedating antihistamines have resulted in fatal cardiac arrhythmias. You may have heard of these. These include some of the over-the-counter medications such as Allegra, Claritin, and Zyrtec.
So can you see why the actions of the cytochromes are so important to drug manufacturers? Designing and ultimately marketing a medication costs drug manufacturers hundreds of millions of dollars. The interaction between cytochrome P and new drugs is therefore very important to the pharmaceutical companies, so much so that predominant degradation of a drug by one of the polymorphic cytochrome Ps is often enough to stop further research on that drug right in its tracks.
One of the major concerns that we all have concerning the cytochromes is its relation to cancer. Some cytochrome Ps may activate procarcinogens, turning them into carcinogens. That is, substances that can lead to cancer.
On the good side, many cytochromes are probably involved in the removal of carcinogens from the body. For example, some cytochrome Ps may play a crucial role in suppression of malignancies. And some researchers feel that there are cytochromes in the lungs that promote lung cancer, especially in cigarette smokers. There's a branch of scientific study called pharmacogenomics, or even pharmacogenetics. It's the study of how your genes affect your body's response to medications.
We should all know that there are literally thousands of genes, somewhere between 19 and 20,000 genes to be more precise.
Genes determine which characteristics you have, such as eye color and blood type. But some genes are responsible for how your body processes medications.
Pharmacogenomic tests look for changes or variants in this gene that may determine whether a medication could be an effective treatment for you or whether you could have a side effects to a specific medication.
For example, in chronic pain patients, we often use pharmacogenomic testing to help us determine which pain medicines would best suit a particular patient. Some patients may do better, for example, on a hydrocodone-based medication, while others should steer clear of that same medication. A drug's activity is the result of the interaction of the drug with proteins involved in absorption, distribution, metabolism, and elimination. It's time for our mid-show break. So Carmen and I will be back in just a moment.
This is a great time to tell you about Southside Medical Center. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, and I've been the medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center for the past 29 years. We're located at 3604 Southside Boulevard, just two blocks south of the Beach Boulevard intersection between the Pottsburg Post Office and the Tulsa Welding School. We will treat your pains, sprains, and strains. Our practice emphasizes chronic pain management as well as anti-aging medicine. We also have an office-based substance treatment program for those who need it. Southside Medical Center is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you would like to make an appointment or ask any questions about Southside Medical Center, please call us at 641-4411. That's 641-4411. Southside Medical Center, where your health is our primary care.
Welcome back to the Hey Doc Show. If you just tuned in the beginning of the show, Carmen and I were talking about cytochromes. These are types of enzymes that particularly use iron to oxidize things, and they're very important in how metabolization of drugs and other substances occur in the human body.
I am sure that you have heard of clinical trials and may even have participated as a test subject for some drugs.
The researchers are looking for both successes of the drugs they wish to market and any side effects that might preclude the medication being taken to market. In other words, the researchers are looking for efficacy and lack of toxicity of drugs. However, these tests do not predict an individual's response to the drug.
As we said previously, variability in drug response can be explained by a number of parameters. These include age, gender, weight, pharmacokinetics, disease severity, concomitant disease, and even environmental factors.
Moreover, genetic differences among individuals in drug metabolism or cellular drug targets may explain a significant component of this variability. Individuals carrying enzyme-inactivating mutations could display impaired drug metabolism, and thus carriers of inactivating mutations, when treated as standard doses, have higher plasma drug concentrations and lower clearance rates, rendering them susceptible to adverse drug reactions. That's an important fact. As we know, there have been a large amount of media attention to the narcotic addiction problem in the United States. One of the ways that the government has used to limit this is to decrease the manufacture and use of these medications in patients with chronic pain.
This has caused a problem for many who feel that they have been unfairly treated, as each individual sufferer may need different doses of their medications to have their pain decreased to an acceptable level and live more productive lives.
Narcotic analgesics are widely used for the treatment of severe pain, especially cancer pain. Morphine and other mu opioid agonists are among the most common prescribed narcotic analgesics for moderate to severe pain.
There is, as we said, a great variation in human response to opioid analgesia. This variation could be explained by genetic variation in metabolizing enzymes and transporting mediating opioid pharmacokinetics as well as by genetics.
The pharmacologic actions of opioids are mediated through their interaction with the opioid receptors that are located in the brain and the spinal cord. Now, there are three types of opioid receptors in our bodies. They're called mu, kappa, and delta opioid receptors. Basically, they've been named for the 4th, 10th, and 12th letters of the Greek alphabet. Delta receptors are natural targets of enkephalins, which are naturally occurring substances that have potent pain-killing. But the mu opioid receptor is the primary site of action of opioid analgesics, including morphine, fentanyl, and methadone.
Although most of the currently prescribed opioids affect the mu opioid receptors, it has been well demonstrated that they exhibit overlapping affinity with kappa and delta opioid receptors.
The best way to describe a typical pharmacogenomic report is to give you several examples of real reports.
One patient who had been prescribed fentanyl, an opioid pain medication, had a report that stated that the patient was likely to have increased sensitivity to pain and increased fentanyl dose requirements to achieve analgesia.
Another report stated that patients may have increased plasma levels of lorazepam, which could lead to increased sedation and CNS depression. Here, the recommendation would be to either lower the levels of this medication or change to another benzodiazepine.
Their report showed that patient had a gene variant associated with reduced expression of mu opioid receptors and increased sensitivity to pain. It also indicated that the patient may need increased morphine dose to achieve more pain relief.
In conclusion, available data indicate that genotyping for mu opioid receptor polymorphism might have clinical implications in pain management. Many of you listening at some time in your lives have probably been prescribed a codeine-containing medication. For example, many cough medicines contain codeine since it is helpful in cough suppression. It's also used for pain relief. It is an opioid-based medication. But did you know that codeine is an important P450 substrate?
In fact, codeine is activated after passing through the liver into morphine exclusively by cytochrome P2D6.
Codeine itself has only mild opioid properties. While most of its analgesia and central nervous system depressant effects are based on its biotransformation to morphine, a reaction catalyzed by the cytochrome P2D6. Genetic polymorphisms of this enzyme result in three phenotypes: poor, extensive, and ultra-rapid metabolizer. And we're going to talk about those.
Poor metabolizers have decreased activation of cytochrome P2D6 depending analgesic prodrugs such as codeine.
About 7 to 10% of the population does not express functional cytochrome P2D6. So the research on codeine administration resulted in pain relief in those patients who were extensive metabolizers but had no effect in poor metabolizer patients.
Furthermore, although poor metabolizers did not receive any analgesic benefit, they had the same frequency of side effects.
In different parts of the world, there are different populations of cytochrome P2D6 ultra-rapid metabolizers. For example, only 1% of people in Finland and Denmark, 10% of people in Greece and Portugal, and a whopping 29% of people in Ethiopia have the potential for increased production of morphine from codeine, and thus could be at greater risk for opioid-related adverse events and might benefit from a lower dose of opioids.
As we said, if you had taken codeine in the past, you may have noted that the most common adverse reaction to codeine include drowsiness, lightheadedness, dizziness, sedation, shortness of breath, nausea, vomiting, and sweating.
But there are also serious adverse reactions. Now, these include respiratory depression, circulatory depression, respiratory arrest, shock, and even cardiac arrest. A good example of a bad outcome is a pneumonia patient prescribed codeine as a cough medicine who was an ultra-rapid metabolizer.
The patient subsequently suffered a life-threatening opioid intoxication from a dose that would normally have not affected normal metabolizers.
The patient was also treated with a macrolide medicine that was also an inhibitor of cytochrome P3A4, which could have actually further reduced the clearance of codeine and increased the risk of an opioid overdose associated with that cytochrome P2D6 gene duplication. Another case, this time a 2-year-old boy, that developed fever and wheezing, and finally respiratory arrest 2 days after elective tonsillectomy, leading to his death.
The boy had been prescribed codeine and acetaminophen for analgesia and the recommended doses, that is 10 to 12.5 milligrams of codeine and 120 milligrams of acetaminophen orally every 4 to 6 hours as needed.
It was later found that the patient was an ultra-rapid metabolizer, and in addition, the child had a history of recurrent episodes of hypoxemia due to bronchopneumonia that could possibly have led to alterations in one of the opioid receptors and increased sensitivity to morphine.
There are some opioids that are not metabolized by cytochrome P2D6, including morphine, oxymorphone, buprenorphine, fentanyl, methadone, and hydromorphone, which have been proposed as an alternative medications instead of codeine for patients prone to codeine sensitivity.
One of the drugs at the forefront of the opioid crisis has been oxycodone. It's a semi-synthetic opioid prescribed for moderate to severe pain and comes in two basic forms, a fast-release medication and an extended-release medication that most have heard of, and it's called OxyContin, and it's been produced and marketed by Purdue Pharmaceuticals.
Oxycodone is similar in its structure to codeine, but it is different from codeine in the fact that the parent compound and the metabolites of oxycodone are equally active in the opioid receptor. Unlike codeine, where the metabolite morphine is more active than the parent codeine.
The principal metabolic pathway of oxycodone is the cytochrome P450 CYP3A, which accounts for approximately 50% of the dose. Not only that, the drug undergoes metabolism of oxymorphone via cytochrome P2D6.
So, in order to appropriately treat patients with moderate to severe chronic pain, it will undoubtedly need to personalize the treatment, and pharmacogenetics may be a critical pathway to personalize medicine.
One of the downsides of pharmacogenomics testing is that many or most health insurance companies will not cover the cost of the testing, and testing can be very expensive. However, I foresee continued research into pharmacogenetics and better and less expensive testing. Once the insurance companies weigh the financial benefits of covering the tests versus the increased costs of pain medications prescribed and the cost of treating the side effects of improper dosing, you should see a change in general insurance coverage in the United States. Newsflash. 78% of people who have successfully lost and maintained their weight loss are breakfast eaters. For one thing, eating a morning meal may encourage more physical activity.
And breakfast brings mind-boosting benefits, like improving memory, attention, and executive functioning. Simply put, a set of skills that helps you get stuff done.
Packing protein in your AM ritual can help reduce the brain activity that can lead to your mid-afternoon donut cravings. According to one study, it can also trigger those feel-full signals in your brain, according to other research. I'd like you, our listeners, to know that I am one of several physicians right here in the Jacksonville area that has received the certification to recommend medical marijuana to those patients with certain qualifying diagnoses. These now include amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, cancer, Crohn's disease, epilepsy, glaucoma, HIV/AIDS, seizure disorders, chronic muscle spasms, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, PTSD, a terminal condition, as well as other ailments and conditions, including certain diseases with chronic or long-term pain. For more information, you can call our office at 641-4411. We have also set up a special website at CompassionateCareJax.com, where you can get a whole lot more information on medical marijuana. You can also set up an appointment for an office visit to Southside Medical Center right on the website. Again, that website is CompassionateCareJax.com. Well, we've come to the end of another Hey Doc show. Carmen and I hope that you've enjoyed the past half hour and have found it interesting, educational, and maybe just a little bit entertaining.
So, from all of us here at Southside Medical Center, have a happy and healthy weekend. Goodbye.